you for having us to come again. Thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for your support. We are still working on our papers, so it may take longer because of backlog. You pray for us, and we'll be praying for you. But what I will pray should cause us to give thanks. And by the way, thanksgiving should not be limited to a period of time, a specific day in a year. Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. Thanksgiving is what we should do every day. Every day. We should say, bless the Lord who daily loaded us with benefit. Even the God of our salvation. We should thank him always. We should thank him in the morning, in the evening, in the afternoon. We should thank him when we are eating and when we are not eating. Amen. We should thank him for having food to eat. But it's difficult for Americans to understand not having food to eat.
Yes, it is.
But in Africa, we used to add that to the thanking when you don't have food to eat. Amen.
Amen.
So, thanksgiving is a lifestyle, it's something we should do. But can I say that you can't live a lifestyle of thanksgiving if you are not saved, if you are not born again? Yes, we have people who are saved who do not give thanks enough.
Yes.
But it's almost impossible for an unbeliever to really thank God. And that's why we have in this country today, one of the messages I could have preached says something like, the greatest sin we have now is the sin of ingratitude. And a young boy was given an orange by a family friend, and the young boy got it, and the mom told him, say, hey, Johnny, what do you say to this gentleman? And Johnny thought of it a little bit, then handed the orange back to the man and said, peel it. Do you get that? That's what we are now. We get so much from God, we still say, God, do more. We don't take time to thank him. So thanksgiving should not be about today. But what God has laid on my heart this morning is in Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1. Even though we're in this spirit of thanksgiving, and I have so much to thank God for, and the greatest of it is the salvation of my soul, is the story of his grace in my life. Ephesians 2, 1 says, and you at he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins. We are in time past. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. We are told of wrath in the Sunday school this morning. That was our nature, even as others. My key verse is number 4. It says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. And in parenthesis, by grace ye are saved. By grace you are saved. Well, let me stop here. We should look up to verse 10. But listen, this morning I want us to thank God together on this topic. But God, the amazing story of grace. But God, the amazing story of grace. I love Paul's writing, Pauline epistle. Paul was a prolific writer, but he did all this writing through the inspiration, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
So it is the word of God. But in this writing, being guided by God, being the word of God, Paul in his books always give us two parts. Except Romans, where he gave us a bit parenthesis in chapter 9, 10, and 11, I believe. But mostly, he gives us two parts. The doctrine of Christ and duties of Christians, believers in Christ. If he give us beliefs and behaviors, he will give us divine principles and practical outlines or principles of this divine truth of God. But in this passage is the first part where Paul is laying down the doctrinal basis of salvation, writing to Ephesians. And in chapter 2, he really wrote deep and well about what we have, who we are in Christ, about our salvation. But the key is that verse 4. He said, but God. Can I say first, before we go in, and I'm going to repeat this later. If you are here this morning, and you don't have in your story, but God, you are missing something. But you are missing everything. Oh, praise God, that in my life I can look back. I can look at that point and say, but God. And that's the story, the amazing story of God in my life. So Paul gave us our past positioning before we were in Christ, and then our present position in Christ, and what this present position should gear us to do while we are on earth. So this morning I want us to look at this amazing story of God, of grace. Amazing story of grace as we look at but God. First, let's consider the position of a person without Christ. The position of a person without Christ. Paul described the unsaved person in verses 1 to 3. Here, he first told us that a person without Christ is a corpse. He's dead. Look at verse number 1. Paul says, and ye are to quicken who are dead in trespasses and sin.
Yes.
Amen. And you are to quicken who are dead in trespasses and sin. Before I got saved, I was a dead man.
Amen.
You've heard the saying that dead man walking. And that's what we were.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what you are if you are here without Christ. You are dead in sin and trespass. It's not that you will die. Many people forget. They don't get it right. That death is not simply when there is cessation of breath from this physical body. Death is a situation of separation. Mostly, first and foremost, from God.
Yeah.
Because of sin, because of our nature of sin, we are separated from God. We are dead in our sins and trespasses. We are dead and separated. We do not know God. We cannot be with God. We cannot understand God. We cannot move with God. Number 2, a person without Christ is not only dead, it's not only a corpse, but also he is controlled. He is controlled. Listen, controlled by what? Look at verse number 2. The Bible says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen to me. That person who is not in Christ, that was what I was. Then I was under the domain of the world, controlled by the values, by the attitudes, and by the morality of this world. Didn't say anything wrong. Couldn't say anything wrong. That's why you see today, many people in our society here in America have studied. I love America. I love Nigeria, my country. And God has blessed this country so much. But it pain, we discussed that so much, my wife and I. And it pains our heart. It's like, hey, you are going down. Hey, you are killing yourself. Hey, you are destroying yourself. Because you see, they are just sold out to the world.
Right.
Morality has gone down. Values have gone down. And that is the situation of an unbeliever. That was what I was. I was under the control of the world. Under the domain of the world, then under the direction of Satan. under direction of Satan. Look at that verse 2 again. He said, the Bible says that we were according to the course of this world. Then according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? Satan.
Yes.
I was demonically controlled. You see, anybody that is not in Christ, you may put on a fine cloth. You may put on fine makeup. You may smell nice. But you are under the control of demons. This world is under the control of demons. God allow it. God permit it. We learned that in Sunday school. The day is coming that he's going to pour down his wrath on this world. But as he said, God said, Satan is the god of this world. And anybody that is not born again is under the control, is under the direction of Satan. No wonder people are doing all sorts of evil and they could not even perceive it. They could not even feel it. Evil in our society is so stinking. It's pouring out. It's pouring out. It's like a pulse of wound. And it's just affecting every area of life. Life is nothing valuable again. Killing millions of children every year, every day in abortion. We see more gunshot violence. We see people just killing people over what? Over property, over little things, over anger, over everything. Why? Because we, the world, is under the direction of the devil. It's demonic. It's demonic. The god of this world, the power of the prince of the air, thrones and principalities. The devil is a great organizer. You know that Satan is a great organizer. Because Satan is no God. Satan cannot be everywhere at every time. It's only God who is omnipresent and omnipotent. But the devil saw how God organized the host of heaven. And he replicated that by having power and principalities, thrones and dominion. And princes of each area. Let me tell you this. We can't go deep into that. In demonology, there is a particular prince of Arima. Who is the demon of Arima? Who probably, in that organizational structure, gives report to the demon of Tennessee. And the one in Tennessee gives to the prince of US. Like prince of Persia, you remember? And they all like that to the devil. Well organized. That's why you see the people of this world, they come together so quickly. They band together so quickly. They move so fast. They call it viral. Go. Because they are under the direction of Satan. Not only that, a person who is not saved is controlled by the domain of the world, by the direction of Satan, and by the desires of flesh. Verse 3 says, according among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh. In the lust of our flesh. Fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature children of wrath. We were intentionally in the lust of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Things that is happening in the name of fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Evil. Sin. Death. That is going around. And it's seeping into our churches. Because whether we like it or not, we have one or two people who are not born again. And they are in the church. And we have some Christians who still love to live the way of the world. And bringing those things into our midst.
That's right.
But you know the lust of flesh. What this flesh will demand. Things that this flesh wants you to do. So the person that is not saved, listen, is a curse, is controlled, but also he is condemned. He is condemned. Verse 3, part of 6 says, the last part of verse 3 says, the Bible says, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Condemned. John 3:18 said, he that believeth not is condemned already. If you are not in Christ, if you are not born again, you are under condemnation. If you should die in that position, you are going to hell. Hell is a subject we don't like to hear again. Because the word Satan has really worked his false doctrine to make people to say, hey, God is love. Oh, how can you say loving God will throw people in hellfire? How can you say God, who is love, we just destroy some people? Hello! And so they say it's a lovey-lovey God, lovey-dovey God. And you live in sin, you talk in sin, you do everything you like, anything you like, it's alright with God. Homosexuality, abortion, marital infidelity, divorce, everything. And we think it's alright. See, God doesn't care, just live your life, enjoy life. It happened in the day of Noah. It happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. God is the God of love, and it's going to happen. Judgment is coming. In fact, judgment is already here. But I tell you, if you are not in Christ, you are under the judgment of God. You are condemned. You are under that burden, cursing without Christ. That's his position. He's the cuffs, he's controlled, and he's condemned. But secondly, the privileges of a person in Christ. The privileges of a person in Christ. Glory to God, verse 4. But God, my position without Christ was that I was a corpse, dead man. I was controlled by the domain of the world, under the direction of Satan, and by the desires of flesh. I was condemned under the wrath of God on my way to hellfire. Oh, but God! The word but is a conjunction, just like and, like however. It's a point where but, whenever you see the word but in any sentence, be ready that the opposite of what was being said to that point is about to be said. So, verses 1 to 3, I was a curse, controlled, condemned, then March 2nd, 1993. But God, my story changed. But God, that's when the story of my life changed. That's where the amazing grace of God was applied to my life. And I got gloriously saved. Gloriously saved. Redeemed by the grace of God. And when I think of the grace of God, it's one of the words we tend to just throw around and abuse a bit. Grace. We like to lose the word G-R-A-C-E. Say, God's riches at Christ's expense. I've heard that. That is correct. But grace is a one side of a coin. And on the other side of it is mercy. So wherever you see grace, mercy is there. Wherever you hear mercy, grace is there. Because they work together. They are a single coin. One side mercy, one side grace. Mercy is God not giving me what I deserve. I deserve to die and go to hell. I deserve to be condemned and eternally separated from God. But mercy says, no. God will be merciful unto me. Then grace says, hey, brother mercy, great, I'm here too. God giving me what I do not deserve. I don't deserve heaven. No. I do not deserve eternal life. No. I do not deserve to be called a child of God. I could not save myself. Amen. I had no power in me. I could not pay for it. Right. No amount of money could pay for it. Right. Elon Musk cannot buy it. Right. Yeah. Bill Gates cannot buy it. Robert Lamans cannot buy it. Timothy Ojo cannot buy it. But God paid for it. Jesus paid it all. He died for me. Shed his blood for my sin. Received the judgment of God, the punishment of God on himself, on my behalf. And that is grace. That's where my story changed. That's the basis of the change of my story. That God is gracious unto me. His grace is a great grace. It is a glorious grace. It is a big grace. It is unbounded. It is unlimited. It is God's grace. It is an amazing grace. It is a joyful grace. It's a rejoicing grace. It's all about grace. It is God's grace. Hallelujah. Have you received God's grace? Has mercy spoken on your behalf? Has God forgiven you your sin? Have you received Jesus as your Savior today? Are you born again? Are you saved? If the answer is yes, you can say with me, but God. Amazing story of grace. I'm born again today. And what are those privileges I have? Number one, I am resurrected. Remember, I was dead. But look at that verse 4. It said, but grace, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sin, art quickened us together. The word quickened is made alive, brought back to life. The spirit, our spirit in us that was dead, separated from God, was made alive, regenerated, regeneration in God. Amen. Quickened us together with Christ. By grace, are you saved? We are made alive. God has taken us from the mirror of sin to sing in the choir of his praise. Can I say, when you look at some words that Paul used, he said, great love. Great love. Amen. Love lifted me. The great love of our God. God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Paul used another word. He said, rich mercy. God is rich in mercy. His mercy is unlimited. He has mercy in abundance. God cannot say, hey, Timothy, I'm sorry. Brother Lamans came before you and I've given him all the mercy I have. No more mercy. No, that's not God. God is rich in mercy. Gave him his mercy. I got his mercy. You got his mercy. We've received his mercy. Forgiveness of our sin. Then he said, this grace. Grace. God giving us his life. The life of his Son, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
And all of that was demonstrated in Christ.
Yes.
God did all this while we were dead in sin. We don't have to try to get God to love us. He already does. If you are here without Christ, God already loves you. He already paid for your sin. He already died for your sin.
He
already loves us. He already did. He proved that at the cross. The Bible says, well, God had made him to be sin for us. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in
him. Amen.
So I am resurrected. Number two, I am raised. What do I mean by that? Say, well, isn't that the same? See, resurrection is that life we get spiritually. But then, my life in Christ now, I am raised and I am seated in heaven now. Now, that I don't understand like you say. But the Bible says it. See, the Bible says in verse number 6, look at that. It said, and hath raised us up together and made. Didn't say we make. Made, that is past, something past, participle, already happened. Already happened. Listen, he said, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't understand that, but this and the grammar used means that the moment I got saved, I am already in heaven with Christ, in Christ. Saved and secured. Saved, sealed, and secure. That is not a liberty to say, no. But that's what God did. Because he did it. And I can just picture it. There in heaven, Jesus sitting at the right hand of the majesty of the Father in heaven. And I'm there. Wow. I can't understand that. But glory to God. Because God, the amazing story of grace, has done this. But God. Not only that, that's talking about our spiritual position in Christ. But quickly, number three, another privilege we have in Christ is we are reigning with him. Or we reign with him eventually. Praise God. Look at verse 6 and verse 7. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Listen to this. That in ages to come, he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
He will show in ages to come. One day I'm going to leave this world. One day I'm going to die. Like your sister did. The only thing that will not make me to die like that is if the trumpet should sound. Right? But all of us here will die. When? How? We don't know. Except rapture comes. Alright? But when that happens, even when that happens, we'll be changed. The Bible says, for this corruptible must put on incorruptible. This mortality must put on immortality. Shall be changed. But whether we were then, and in ages to come. The word ages talks of years, uncountable period of time. Millions, billions. You see, that's where the evolutions, or the evolution has got it wrong. This earth is not billions of years before, but billions of years to come. Not this present world, for this shall be dissolved, and there will become new heaven and new earth. The Bible says so. But then, we will live billions of years.
Amen.
Trillions of years. Gazillion of years. Zazillion, that is letter Z. That's the letter. If there's something like that. Zazillions of years. Listen. We shall reign forever.
Amen.
For our Christ shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. And we shall reign with him forever and ever and ever. Glory to God. What a privilege.
Yes, it is.
And finally, what is that teaching us? Listen to me. The purpose of it all. Verse 10. Let's quickly run to verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. I challenge you in this Thanksgiving. The best life or the best Thanksgiving you can give to God is to live for him. Matthew chapter 5, I believe verse 14, 15 and 16 said, ye are the light of the world. Say, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works. And do what? Glorify your Father.
Amen.
Say, wow, praise God. What Thanksgiving can be more than that? But the word workmanship is something interesting. Pastor, I studied that a little bit. Like you said, I'm just a student. Elementary student of the Bible. But the word workmanship has this idea of something you created. For example, this pulpit was made by a carpenter who had this design in his mind and then got the materials and chisel and saw and polish and wore. It's not like this guy just did abracadabracada. No. He worked it. So God worked it to save us.
Yes.
In Christ. Jesus paid it all.
Yes.
So when God did all that, what was the product? You and I. Just like this is the product, the workmanship of the carpenter that made it. And workmanship of God's grace. Of his salvation. And this pulpit was made for a purpose. And that's the purpose we are using. If we should take this pulpit and take it to a restaurant this afternoon, they could use it. Yes. One of the host will be there. And as you walk in and say, give me your name. You wait 20 minutes. You know, added. But the concept, this pulpit was not made for that. Many of us, God has made us for this particular purpose. To live for his glory. But somehow, we are ending up in restaurants. You get the idea? The very purpose. We are not bringing glory. The carpenter that made this pulpit to be used in the church, if he should see it in restaurant being used by the hostess to see people, will not be happy. Is God happy with you? Is your life praising God? Are you fulfilling His purpose for your life? Are you living out a life of praise and thanksgiving? They will see your good works and glorified. That's a life of praise, your Father. At this Thanksgiving, remember every day is Thanksgiving.
Yes, every day.
Let's remember our story. If you are born again today, and say with me, glory to God, but God. Yes. The amazing story of grace. Preacher, come and do invitation, please.